We turn now to two legal scholars to take a look at the meaning of the Ninth Circuit ruling delaying this recall. John Eastman is a professor at Chapman University Law School. Welcome, Professor Eastman.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Rick Hassan is a professor at Loyola Law School, and he had filed a friend of the court brief in support of the appeal. Rick Hassan, thank you for joining us, and congratulations on your persuasive argument.
Well, thanks very much.
Let's begin with you. Is it a good idea for courts to be delaying elections 3 weeks before they're to take place?
Well, I think that a court should only do that under the most egregious of circumstances, and I think that this is a case where the court had to balance very delicately the public interest in having the recall election take place quickly with the equal protection problems that were presented by the use of punch card voting in six of California's 58 counties.
And the equal protection problem is that some people will have their votes counted by other means, and those will be better means than the people who have to use punch card ballots.
And it's not just better means. The order of magnitude is pretty severe here. So we know that the chances of casting a vote that's going to count if you live in San Francisco or live in another part of California are going to be much higher than if you live in Los Angeles or San Diego County.
Professor Eastman, are you persuaded?
And I'm not at all persuaded. Look, the voting mechanisms that we're talking about here have been in place for 50 years. I think it's an outrageous decision by the court to interject itself into the process and to issue an injunction stopping the election rather than, if it really did see problems with the punch card ballots, enjoining their use so that the election officials could go, say, back to the original paper ballot or bring in voting machines or do all of the other options. They were intent on stopping this election. And it's not just balancing the voters' interest in a quick election. It's balancing the state constitution's requirement for a quick election in the recall. And they just disregarded that entirely.
Professor Hassan, I am interested to see that as this lawsuit proceeds, it's going to be appealed, there is another suit already underway against the touchscreen machines, which are supposed to solve this punch card ballot problem. That is, the new voting machines that are supposed to come in. Seems like once one begins this, it could be an endless kind of process of looking for the perfect voting arrangement.
Yeah, and I think the court was very careful to say that perfection is not required. And if we lost, say, 1% of the ballots across all of California randomly, it would not present so much of a problem. The problem here is that we have a systematic geographical disparity in terms of how votes are counted, and that's what presents the equal protection problem, not perfection. And I should note that in Los Angeles, in March, at the time that the state has already agreed that the punch card balloting machines will be retired, we won't be using those touchscreen machines. We'll be using something that's like an optical scan, at least for a couple of years.
Professor Eastman, may I just ask you, the Supreme Court in 2000, in Bush v. Gore, is this decision coming back to haunt us, even though I think the court said that people should kind of not pay any attention to that decision as far as precedent goes, if they could?
Well, they didn't say don't pay any attention to that decision as precedent. Let's be fair to what the court did say. It said the question before the court is not whether local entities, in the exercise of their expertise, may develop different systems for implementing elections. They said they could do that. What was at issue in Florida in the Bush versus Gore case was when you had a single statewide recount under the same court order that was being applied differently. The court went out of its way to say we're not interfering with local control of elections and the minor disparities that occur from there. That doesn't violate equal protection. Ninth Circuit took that language, completely disagreed, and said we're going to follow the precedent that you say doesn't apply, and we're going to pretend it does to stop this election for partisan purposes. I think the court had no business being involved in here, and I think the district court's decision was more than supportable by the evidence that had been put before it. And on an abuse of discretion standard, which is what this appeal is about, this is just flouting the law.
Is it likely that the Supreme Court will take this case?
You know, I never can predict what the Supreme Court's going to do. They might say, pox on your house, you deal with it out in California and out in the Ninth Circuit. But the intrusion here into the fundamental electoral process is so severe that I would hope that the Supreme Court would take it.
Professor Hansen, final word?
Well, I think that if you look at the other part of Bush versus Gore, it says you should not value one person's vote over that of another. And that's what's at issue in this case, whether or not we're going to have a system where we're going to allow in advance, knowing that there are going to be people whose votes are not going to be counted in a systematic way.
Thanks very much. Rick Hassan is a professor at Loyola Law School. Thanks also to John Eastman, a professor at Chapman University Law School. Thank you both very much.
Thanks.
Thank you for having us.